And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to episode 9, 8, 4, down to Dunk. You can find us on The Athletic and anywhere else you subscribe to your podcast. Go to theathletic.com/down2dunk and get The Athletic for $1 a month. I am Luke, joined this morning by Andrew.
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! Slam through.
Taylor.
Do you know the last thing my grandfather said to me before he kicked the bucket? Grandson, watch how far I can kick this bucket. Slam through.
And Jay.
It's Jay.
What?
Where's I the lost song? A lot of confidence on that one. And then I had to switch over because here's the song. It's a new day, but it all feels old. It's a good life. That's what I'm told. Lost a lot of confidence very early in this podcast. Wow.
That was the least confident singing I've ever heard from you. It's a new day.
It was over before I even started it.
Hey, shout out to Billy Martin, who is probably listening to this podcast right now.
No offense, Bills.
No offense. So the Thunder currently sit at 20-27. They're 13th in the Western Conference. They beat the hapless Toronto Raptors. Just an embarrassing franchise at this point.
Yeah, they are bad.
They're straight up bad.
I will say this. It's kind of, I mean, you've got Pascal Siakam and those other guys, Fred VanVleet. And OG. If you can add one of these guys in the top five, like they could be potentially set up for a real quick turnaround from this disaster. And
yeah.
Alex is the one that keeps reminding us too, is like they're the team that got moved to Tampa.
Yeah.
Like they're not home.
They're still in the bubble, basically. Like they don't get, they're not at their house. They don't get to live their life like normal. Like
what an indictment on Tampa.
They're all in hotel rooms.
Yeah, it's
what a horrible place Tampa must be.
Yeah, I mean,
Tom Brady's winning Super Bowls there, okay? So there's no excuse for the Raptors.
You know what? I bet all the Raptors are going in a week and a half or 2 weeks.
Disney World?
WrestleMania.
Oh, is that in Tampa?
Yes.
Just to clarify, you know, I know that Disney World is not
I
in Tampa.
I bet you're right.
It's not too far away. Yeah, it's the Thunder are pretty clearly showing their hand on what's going on. They are starting the wildest lineups. And then on top of that, like Poku missed time. Like what even is the point at this point?
I mean, he was under COVID protocols.
Yeah. But I'm saying contract. Like, just why even play?
They're trying to develop your favorite player, Moses Brown.
A lot of SV minutes.
I mean, they won the game too. I mean, if they had lost by like 80 points, I would understand your point, but like they won that game.
No, it's not about wins and losses at this point, my man. It's about my enjoyment.
You didn't even watch the game.
No, I did not.
So this is really just all about you. This has nothing to do with anything else but you.
To be fair, it was on. It was on in the room. I was watching some Bali Sports or whatever it is.
Bali
Sports, yeah. Which apparently I was completely in the dark about. I had no idea this was happening.
And all of a sudden, it just turned on.
I'm like, what?
They just popped it up. I mean, they were kind of keeping it under wraps until they were ready to go.
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago they started.
Yeah. I just need them back on YouTube TV.
They are. They should be. Coming. Yeah, it's coming.
All right, good.
It's happening. It's all happening. Hey, listen, I have a stat line. This is a player on the Raptors from that game. Okay. Mm-hmm. You tell me who this player is. 18 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals, 4 blocks. So they loaded it up, but who is this? 18 points, 5 steals, 4 blocks.
Boucher.
7 assists, 4 rebounds. Apparently no guesses.
Mine was wrong. I literally just guessed. Did you hear
not
me?
Boucher. It was Fred VanVleet.
Okay.
And that's the player that you think you listen to that stat line and you think that's going to come from Siakam or yeah. someone or OG or so, or that's right. like OG's best game, right?
The 4 blocks, yeah.
But Siakam specifically has really had a hard year, and I don't really understand what's going on with him. Because that was the guy of the future. Yeah, like, yeah. It was Siakam.
Yeah, he and Nick Nurse are at odds.
Yeah, they are, because he got fined for how he treated his coach.
Mm-hmm.
The league fined him for how he spoke to his coach, right?
Yeah.
That's gotta it's be got pretty
to,
bad.
It's got to be so bad.
Yeah. That the league had to step in.
That the team is like, hey, listen, this is not okay. And they probably had that conversation with him privately, and then he doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And then like you have to keep going. Like this that doesn't just happen. He's like, he was mean to me. You know, like it's there's a process behind getting to that point.
So it looks like the Raptors are kind of in no man's land a little bit, in the sense that they're obviously going to be bad enough to get a top 5 pick this year, more likely. Nick Nurse, who knows what he actually is now? I think he was so highly regarded after that championship run.
Yeah.
Justifiably. Like, he was doing some really unique things on the floor. But, you know, like, having Kawhi Leonard and, I mean, that was a really
having Kawhi helps.
Serge, Mark Gasol. I mean, they had a roster that really helped amplify what he would be good. So this is where you're kind of defined. So here's the question I have for this podcast.
Mm-mm-mm.
If they're about to spin in a mediocrity for a while, which they may not. I think as long as they have Masai as their GM, they'll be competitive as much as they want to be. But he is also a free agent this summer. In the sense that if I don't know, insert team that throws a gigantic deal at him.
Knicks.
But they that was a conversation a couple years ago, but I think the Knicks have somebody, right? I don't know.
Yeah, but I think if
maybe Danny Ainge is finally ready to retire or whatever, and Masai
he will never.
The Raptors potentially could spin off into mediocrity for the next 5 to 10 years. Would you take mediocrity for 5 to 10 years? If it meant you had the championship 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what this is all about?
This is all about.
Yeah, I take it.
I say that now, and then 7 years into mediocrity, I'd be like, this is miserable.
Yeah, but you would have that one shirt.
Yeah, you just, that one shirt, or when you're starting to really feel bad, you just go back and watch, like,
let me ask you this,
highlights of the championship.
You watch that Kawhi shot against the Sixers.
Yeah.
Are we in year 5 of Thunder mediocrity? I mean, answer that question to me.
Oh, wow.
No.
2016?
No.
You don't think so?
2017 counts as a win.
What's mediocre to you?
I mean,
as high as the 5 seed?
No, I think mediocrity is like,
because that's kind of where we get
as low as it's funny. That's all defined by however you want to define it. But for me, I'm like, when I think of teams that have existed in that, you think of the Kings, the Magic, the Hornets, like the Thunder at least were, whether it was real or not, you had an idea that like, hey, and you watched it happen. The Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook teams throttled the Warriors.
Multiple times in the regular season. Sure.
So there were moments where you saw them, you're like, holy crap, if this team, like, maybe, and when Robertson was still playing, like, there's part of it that at least made you think that they were more than just the play-in game. Yeah. I think teams that are in the perpetual play-in game world, that's mediocrity for me.
Okay.
And I think looking back on it, you can make a case that they have been in mediocrity because they were out in the first round every year.
Yeah,
right?
First round and out. So, like the end results.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Then now you can look back. But Jay, I agree with you. During those seasons, it did not feel like that.
Which
and
is
that
why it
2017
wasn't fun, right?
MVP season for Russ did not feel like a loss. That felt like a win that season.
But also, that's because last year's team as well is there were so many unique. It was just unique. 2017, like
New York.
We had there was something that drove the season for us where it's like, man,
they're pulling this, doing this. And that's kind of what differentiated, where it's like, to have a team this year where you're just kind of, you can throw the game on in the background and not really watch intently. That's what mediocrity does for me.
Yeah.
And it never was like that. Even in the seasons that made me insane, it was must-see TV every time they played, mm-hmm. because you just knew that there's a potential that you could see something that would be really high quality basketball.
Okay. Define what's mediocrity to you? Cause what Jay's describing to me is actually just bad.
Yeah. 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 Like Kings are just bad. Like they've just been bad. I wouldn't say they're mediocre. They're bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, but for yeah, so many you're right. Years. You're right in a lot of ways. I think that these teams that are perpetually in the 10, I use the lottery to kind of define that.
Yeah.
Teams that are perpetually from 10 to 20. And that's where they are every single year when they draft.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that doesn't really exist. But in my mind, that's what I think of when I think of that.
Yeah.
Although the Raptors wouldn't even qualify that because they will not be in 10 through 20 this year.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the Spurs have been mediocre for a while.
Yeah, that would be one I would say, for
like,
sure.
Like, have a chance to make the playoffs. Some years you do, some years you don't.
Yeah.
It's all meaningless.
It's all meaningless.
That's true.
I mean, profound philosophy there.
It's true. Once you accept that this is all meaningless, doesn't it make your job a little easier?
Oh, all of this is meaningless? That's not what I meant.
Yeah. I didn't either.
This is my career, man.
I mean, it really... I mean,
anything
I
else from...
I guess it really is.
This moment sends Andrew on this like dark spiral into depression. What am I doing?
This is my life.
No, it's fun. Everyone's very jealous of your job. Don't worry.
We turn into the Saturday Slam and Jam. It's like, hey, it's Andrew. Whatever.
What do y'all want? Whatever. I didn't. Yeah. It's all meaningless.
Doesn't mean anything. Who cares?
So anything. I mean, I half joke about how half watching I was for that game. But anything from this team that even remotely gets you potentially excited about somebody? I know y'all did your player rankings.
I could talk about how Sfi makes me feel.
Go ahead.
He makes me feel like other teams miss something about him.
Yeah.
Makes me feel warm.
Yeah, how does he not become something in Detroit?
I don't know. That's a mystery to me. He should have been better. Because you could argue like, oh, they didn't have great point guard play. The Thunder had a rookie point guard out there on the court with him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's a guy who seems like he wants to be able to get his own shot off.
Right.
Like he doesn't really need that. Like
exactly.
He's pretty shifty and way more athletic than I was expecting him to be.
Yes. He can. I mean, he can really, really shoot it.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's good. I don't know how good he is. I don't know if he plays. If you threw him on the Lakers, would he play? I mean, now he would, but
I don't know.
Like a fully functioning Lakers team, does he play? I don't know the answer to that, but
I can see like the way that he gets his points. I can see that being hard to figure out how to fit in a team that's really good.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if we could see more like spot up shots from him or more that's within the, I don't know, some kind of offensive strategy, but he is just getting, you know, he's getting his shots off and he's making them.
This is wild. He's 60% on corner three since he's been with the Thunder.
How many is that?
I don't know what the total number is. It's
at least
it's 27% of his total shots. In Detroit, he shot 30% on corner threes this season. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
I mean, it surely for me is you look at guys like that and the Thunder have a roster full of these people. Like,
yeah.
Kenrich wasn't, I mean, he played for the Pelicans.
It his was splits just kind of a, are insane. His splits are insane. Also, in 36 games, he had zero dunks for Detroit. In 7 games for OKC, he's had 6 dunks.
He looks like a guy who is seeking out dunks. So that
yes.
doesn't make, oh, I had a question. I'm glad we were talking about Sfi, who I brought up. Who do you think, which fan base is more excited about the player they got in the trade? Oklahoma City with Sfi or Detroit with Hami?
Hami's been super good.
He's been very good.
And I think Detroit. he's played 2 games for them. He's been very productive. He's good. I think you could make an argument that it was a good trade for both teams.
Yes, I think so too.
Because both players are expiring. You're going to have to pay both of them. I don't know what the Thunder pays.
Hami in Oklahoma City was going to pull this team like there's a chance they're going to win more games because of Hamidou Diallo. Like maybe
is he one. That much better than is Hami better than Sfi? Does he provide something that's all right.
If
that
you're
much
Detroit,
better?
If you're Detroit, you think yes.
Obviously, because he wasn't doing anything for them.
Yeah.
But you and bring this guy 60% from the corners, like can spread the floor out.
Yeah. But I think Oklahoma City might have also thought Hami was better than Sfi. I mean, that was clearly a tank.
Sure.
Trade.
And I think, I think
you got an asset in addition to Diallo. You know, like it was Diallo in a second, wasn't it? Or Sfi in a second for Diallo.
Yeah, Sfi in a second. Yeah. And Kenrich basically does what Hami does. Like you're this kind of versatile wing that handles and does all this stuff, but he's a little bit better shooter. I mean, you're talking about Kenrich. Last season with the Pelicans, it's just weird. It's just weird. 42% true shooting. This season with the Thunder, 64% true shooting. What are we supposed to do with that?
Are we just seeing like what these players can do with actual opportunity?
So that's my question. I think
I don't know.
Here's my
I don't know.
If you had to choose between these three options, mm-hmm. which one is it? Is it culture, coaching, or opportunity?
Can I pick two?
Sure.
Coaching and opportunity combined. Sprinkle in a little culture.
Sprinkle in a little like this is wacky weird.
It is weird, but you obviously
sprinkles.
You can. It's hard because sometimes when we say it's weird, is it's easy for us to assume that like, oh, this isn't sustainable, which may be real.
Yeah,
yeah.
But also, like, we've always had this conversation on this podcast: is franchises and the right situation for this is why it's even these top five picks. Like, you could look at Evan Mobley and say, all right, if Evan Mobley ends up in Cleveland, will we see the fullest potential for who Evan Mobley can be?
Probably not.
Which is why it's easy. It's
gosh.
I changed my
Okay, we're back. We're back.
It was just headphones.
Calm down. Calm down when you're talking about who are you talking about?
But here's the deal is
Evan.
Evan.
This is why it's hard. And trust me, as a small market fanatic, it's hard to say these things. But this is why it kind of makes sense on the player side of it, to where it's like you have these guys that are stuck, like Marvin Bagley. Now, it's easy for us today to say Marvin Bagley is bad.
Sucks.
He's been injured, but you're passionate about that. I appreciate it.
I'm just being the voice of the fan.
So, but at the same time, as if Marvin Bagley ends up on the Thunder somehow,
mm-hmm.
4 years ago or 3 years ago, is there a chance that Marvin Bagley is a totally different player?
Not when he's on a team with Russell Westbrook.
You watch some of these. I mean, it may not be wrong, but it's easy to see how like putting players in the right system, culture, coaching, giving them the opportunity can make a dramatic difference on literally their entire career.
Yeah.
I think even just role and minutes for some of these players. Look at a guy, obviously Christian Wood is the most recent guy that's like actually good at basketball. And you're like, how did he not play more? You know? And then, but remember when Hassan Whiteside, when we started noticing him,
mm-hmm.
it was the same thing. It was in Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
That year he started taking off and you're like, who is that? What? He just had 15 rebounds and 6 blocks in this game or whatever. And it was starting to take off. These guys, you see it a lot with bigs, I guess. But when they get opportunity, they can be really productive. And that's the scary thing about Moses Brown.
Well, the clearest example of this. Now, this is not a fair, real conversation because Jeremy Grant was really young when he came to Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at Grant's development.
Yeah.
And what you saw in Oklahoma City, the only reason he was able to get the contract he did in Detroit is because of the way that Oklahoma City gave him the opportunity to figure out who he was. And you put him in a good system with good leadership. And I know that we, you know, tongue in cheek kind of say that stuff about Russell, but Russell historically has been a teammate.
Yeah.
I think Sabonis is the one we always think about, where Sabonis was just horrified constantly to play with Russell Westbrook. But
Thabo.
I think you could even have the conversation about Victor Oladipo. Like, Oladipo for the Magic. Now, his career obviously completely derailed by his knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
But Orlando, Victor wasn't going to be anything more. Now he gets a shot in Oklahoma City, and there's moments where you see flashes of it. He was never what he was in that one season in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
But he would even give testimony to the fact that playing for Oklahoma City, playing underneath Russ, was something that really formed the way he wanted to be as a player going forward. And so mm-hmm. I think that there's – all I'm saying is so much situational stuff impacts the development of these guys. And I think in Oklahoma City, what you're seeing is exactly what we said. These guys are getting opportunity. They're getting really well coached. And then they're part of a culture that just breeds success for a lot of guys. If you want to come in and put in the work to get there, because you could always go back and look at the Jeremy Lambs and the Perry Jones and the Mitch McGarry's, like all these guys that flamed out. But I think the clear difference between them and a guy like Kenrich, and even what we see so far from Svi, is the fact that they're coming in and putting in the effort to be the best version of themselves. I think their ceilings are pretty defined. But I think that Oklahoma City is at least increasing the floor of what these guys can be in the NBA.
I don't know. I think it's kind of a fake. It's like some of these guys are actually kind of fake good. Like if they were on a better team, they would not be this. Because like you got to think like on a team when it was Russ and like what just with Russ, he takes up so much of the pie of ball time and everyone else gets such little slivers of it. And now
it's small ball time.
Yes. And now, right now, it's all these guys that would, you know, not be on the floor if in years past with the Thunder.
Zero ball time.
Well, now they have a bigger piece of the pie and they can make something of it.
More ball time.
I think if you put any of these guys on our team right now, on the Lakers today, none would play.
Zero ball time.
Ball time over.
which goes back to that.
You're right, though, Luke.
It's that conversation about opportunity. Like, you're right. Like, there's a chance that Svi, if they were able to trade Kenrich or Svi, I mean, they couldn't have traded Svi, I guess. But if they would have traded Kenrich at the deadline to insert team Brooklyn or Philadelphia 76ers, there's a chance that he's not going to be as productive as he was here because there's very little expectation for you other than play hard and you just have every opportunity to shoot.
Like, could you, like you take anyone on our team and put them on a different team, they're not going to have the same because they get the chance to shoot the ball three times a game and that's it.
Right.
And then if they don't do something with that, then the next game they get one shot per game or they don't get in at all.
Yeah.
And so I think to look at this team and be like, oh, some of these guys are actually like could be super good with all the people we have out now and the team we're putting together now. That's not true.
There's some weird fluky stuff like Darius Miller shooting. And like Darius Miller hasn't had opportunity. He's shooting 44% from three. You know, like there's a little bit of wackiness in here too.
It's just the season, man. He's a shooter.
Yeah, but
he's had some pretty good shooting.
Come on and off the bench, basically, you don't play unless we have nobody.
Okay,
you're coming in cold, and it's like, okay, he's having the best shooting year of his career.
Is it a psychological thing then? Is it a psychological thing then where it's like these guys that are used to all the pressure? And now they know that they're on a team that there is no pressure to win. So let's just not.
I don't know, but Justin Jackson, who we think of, like, oh, that guy's a pretty good shooter, 30% from three.
I have not thought he's a good shooter.
people think that of him.
Many are saying,
but not this many.
You know, and like Darius Bazley shot 29% from three. Poku's 23%. There's just wackiness going on.
Poku's stats like that and not at least give some sort of...
You got to give last 10 games
thank
stats.
You. Yeah. Or just the games that I like what he shot.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Don't give me the whole picture.
In the games that Jay counts.
Yeah, in the games that I count, he's shooting way better than that, to be fair.
I mean, it's weird. They have seven guys this season that have shot 37% or better from three. And some of it's system, some of it is opportunity, but there's a little maybe 10% wacky thrown in there.
I think the other thing that is even another variation to this is the wackiness of the season, specifically in the sense that not playing in front of crowds. We talked about how the Miami Heat probably got a bubble bump from not having Tyler Hero, who I think we could say is going to be a pretty good to great player, is I think Tyler Hero even performed at a level. I think that Bucks series against the Heat is probably different if they're having to travel into Milwaukee
Definitely.
And play in front of their crowd
for sure.
Four out of the seven games. Same thing with Duncan Robinson. And I think you could see that with some of these guys also here in Oklahoma City, where it's like They're playing in an empty gym with Andrew, yeah. Joe Masato, and Royce Young,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of Thunder personnel.
And we're not even in their line of sight.
Yeah. So it's like there is
they're not even really watching.
I think that there's a difference in the way you play as far as pressure in front of nobody versus in front of a crowd that's...
Without a doubt.
You know?
Especially for young guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no organizational pressure. Actually, there's pressure to lose. And so you're like, let's show these executives, you know? Yeah.
Oh, Sam wants us to lose? Cool. Yeah. We're going to shoot 45%.
All right. Well, then let's just go for it. Svi, let's get some dunks in, baby.
I can't wait to see at the end of the season that, like, as a team, this will be maybe the best three-point shooting Thunder team that's ever existed.
I think they already are. I'm serious. Like, I'm pretty sure they already are. I'm not joking. This is not a joke.
Okay, here's a question. You put Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook on this team.
With Svi and Ty Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
Title.
Title.
Title, baby.
Clearly.
Okay.
Good Lord.
Clearly, they win the title.
Tayshaun's back to a bigger mystery. Tayshaun's back to a bigger mystery.
Hello, I'm Taylor, and this is my factoid figgery victory. Fox Sports, as most of you have noticed, has changed its name to Bally Sports. So in 2019, Sinclair bought Fox Sports for $10 billion, and Bally's bought the naming rights for $88 million over 10 years. With that, my assumption is we'll start seeing and hearing more lines and general sports gambling stuff like on the feed, on probably like running on the screen underneath the game, different lines and things that are happening. So I wanted to ask y'all about sports gambling. And here's my question. One, have you done it before? Have you gambled on a sports game?
I have not.
Luke.
I have.
Yes.
I did with you last week. I lost $10.
Oh, yeah. You lost. Yeah. You come to my casino.
To the Timberwolves.
Yeah. House always wins.
House always wins.
You won all the bets you made.
I did. Luke wanted to get in there too. I made $20 off these.
Some action.
Off these freaking rookies.
You felt left out, or do you feel the itch?
I didn't think anyone was going to take his bets. And so I wanted to just have that.
You know, I'll say this. That was the most fun I've had watching a Thunder game the entire season.
I know.
Because there's actual stakes. Stakes matter.
You had skin in the game.
I had skin in the game.
I haven't gone on to an online betting website like, is it BetMG?
BetMGM?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. See?
I bet in Vegas. And
see, I haven't done that either.
It's fun.
Bovada is one I've heard of.
Yeah, you can go. I've been to Vegas before, and you can walk by these like sports books, like these places where they have 1,000 televisions on TV, and you can bet in different lines, like random things too. There is part of it that's intriguing, but I just haven't ever done it.
Well, what's the most, if you had to do it, okay, what is the most amount of money you would bet on one game, and what sport would it be? Now, I asked you guys to think about this, like you have to actually try to like budget. You have to save up for this. You made me a promise you're going to put a lot of money on a game. So what's that amount and what sport is it in?
This is going to be super underwhelming for you, but like $100.
Okay, that's the most you could ever get yourself to do.
I mean, yeah. Dude,
$100.
Yeah. I don't like losing money.
But how do you feel about winning money?
Yeah.
Great.
Because if you bet it, you'd probably win.
Yeah, just like Top Shot, guys. I've got a lot of cards that are just sitting there not getting me.
You're basically gambling.
I mean, not really.
Yeah.
If I know
you are, what is it?
Anyway, $100. I don't like losing money.
Okay. Luke?
I would say $1,000.
Okay.
Is now we're talking. Where I would top out on.
But sport is it?
Well, first, this is, I'm not walking in and this is bet number one. I have to have been at like in Vegas at a casino and I'm up.
And a you, good amount. Oh, right, right.
So you're spending all, money that's not really yours.
This is all fun money that I'm spending. That
doesn't
on
count.
It.
Yeah. Hey, if you put gave some, me $1,000,
I'll wow.
Yeah. No, Luke.
You're saying pull your credit card out. That's what you're betting out of.
You've saved up money to go to Vegas. You're like, I'm making one big bet. It's on a game. This is the money I'm putting down.
But that's not really. Okay. Then. $500.
All right, losers.
NBA would be the sport, though, to answer that, because it's the only sport I feel like I know the most about.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I'm not I'm winning. I'm betting those big things when I'm winning. That's part of my thought.
How do you start to win?
Because what are you winning?
Bet small stuff. I'm betting around in the casinos.
Betting around on what? What do you mean?
You sound like a guy who's trying to act like they've been to a casino before, but they haven't.
Yeah, I go there.
I bet around in the casinos.
I play the blackjack and the thing with the roulettes.
I bet around every time.
That's how you.
And then you gain the money, and then you can really bet. Then you can really get in there. My skin. I've got all my skin out there in the games.
That's how you bet.
Betting
you
around.
Go to the casino and you play around.
You know what they say at the blackjack table? Full house always wins.
Yeah, that's true.
Bet around and win. Okay. $1,001.
That's what you would do?
Okay. On the first round of the NBA playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Which is going to be a low risk, low reward.
Low risk, low reward, but I get my money and a little bit of skin back. And then I'm really going in because I'm betting around.
Then you start betting around the casinos, baby.
Go around. Put some money in some machines.
Yep. Then you start betting around. Go around. Bet around.
Here's what I need to do. This is what I should do next year. Go. March Madness.
For the first time.
Fill out my bracket.
Uh-huh.
And then bet the opposite of whatever I've just bet.
Throw your money in the
because
garbage
I'm
can.
Horrible. Horrible.
Everybody is.
Everybody is. That's
like less than 1% of brackets have got the final four.
Flip
or something
it.
Like
that. Yeah.
That's right. I think that's a really good strategy.
I'm going
actually.
Next year.
I'm flipping it.
If you put like $10 on every single first round game, I bet you would come out positive.
I think so too. Doing it.
Could bet around.
Just bet around the casino, you know, just walk around and bet around, you know?
Drop a quarter here and there.
Hey, you know,
why are you saying these?
Give a tip to the drink girl and then you...
Where are you from? Where are you betting this money?
Atlantic City.
75 cents at the blackjack.
Yeah, you know, you step outside, you get a hot dog, and you go inside and you bet around.
You know, make a bet with the hot dog man. How many hot dogs you got in there? 50? Couldn't be more than 50.
What? If I get in a range of 5 to 7, how many hot dogs will you give me?
Where is this?
You know, I'm in Atlantic City. My name
is Luke. Luke, this was you.
Okay.
I just wonder how long we're going to go with it.
Luke, this is for you.
Forever.
This
guys,
is what you did, Luke.
Guys, here's what I'm doing. I'm getting ready and gathering power right now because in the next week, WrestleMania, you think is one night. You're wrong. It's like a week and a half of wrestling information.
Last week you said you never talk about wrestling on this podcast.
I'm ready to talk about it now.
Okay.
Because it's WrestleMania season. The showcase of the immortals. Okay. And so just get ready because it's not this weekend. It's next weekend. It's Saturday and Sunday night. But this is what my next weekend looks. This is what my next week looks like wrestling. Monday Night Raw, 3 hours.
Oh.
Tuesday, the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony easily will probably be 2 to 3 hours. I think 3.
Uh-huh.
Wednesday, NXT Stand and Deliver, which is a pay-per-view, which is Wednesday and Thursday night. Plus, also on Wednesday, there's AEW, which is that combined. There's going to be 7 hours of wrestling.
Wow.
Friday Night SmackDown, 2 hours. Saturday, WrestleMania Night 1, easily 7 hours.
Night 1? We're only at Night 1 5 days into this?
Sunday, WrestleMania Night 2, another 7 hours. Monday Night Raw, 3 hours.
That's way too much production.
I'm going to guess that in the next week, I'm going to watch at least probably 30 hours of wrestling. It is. I have to mentally prepare.
Okay, are you going to go to the grocery store?
Maybe.
Because like you're going to be in your house a lot. I'm saying like you're going to need snacks. You're going to need beer. You're going to need wine. Are you wine or beer during wrestling?
Well, here's the thing. Mostly beer. But here's the other thing is that I have to go to work.
Yeah.
I have to go to work, so I can't be just drinking all the beers. Come on.
Okay. I mean, I guess it would be kind of irresponsible to just like, oh, wrestling's on. I guess I'll drink beer the whole time. And then it's 6 days of that.
Yes, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited and I'm very much looking forward to it.
You're going to eat pizza the whole time?
Yeah.
No.
Well, let's go to the stream before we take our quick break. We have Lawrence from Boston. We have Christos from Greece. We have, let's see, Jamie from Mexico. We have Hoopstock69 from the moon. We have Loke from Denmark. We have, let's see, good morning from South London, from Christian. We also have, what are you guys doing over there? No, we have our traveling teacher in Ethiopia. Thanks for tuning in. Koa Tran says, can Luke do a Boston accent, please?
What is it? What's the word that they say? Park the car in Harvard Yard.
Very good. Dogu from Portugal. Let's see. We have Christian from Indiana. And thanks everybody for tuning in.
Hope these guys are freaking lying, man.
Hope everybody's doing well.
Indiana, there's no way. Right, Andrew?
Are there people there?
Hey, did you ever get confirmation of that person who said they're in Antarctica?
Yeah.
They are?
Yep. All right, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And we're back from that quick break.
Twitter question.
Are we back? I can't hear myself. In my
yeah, we can't hear.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Twitter questions.
Hey, our first Twitter question comes from at Kyle Panabaker, who wants to know thoughts on the Baisley injury. Seems odd to be out this long for a shoulder contusion. Any chance the Thunder are holding him out with as much as he was struggling?
Any information, Andrew, any information on the contusion confusion?
I mean, I have information, and like they're not faking an injury with him because he...
Yeah, what does Baisley do?
I mean, honestly, like if that is the story, if that's the story, the Thunder are wanting to hold him out because they don't want him on the court, that makes no sense because he was their worst player with regards to plus minus the whole season. So if you're really trying to tank, you're not holding Baisley out. You're playing him 40 minutes a game. So there's legitimate injury. There's nothing going on here. There's no funny business going on.
We should
on
be
here.
Playing injured players, though, is what you're saying.
Yeah. But I also would say, like, I think honestly, like, this would be the time that you would want to see Baisley playing because, hey,
no doubt.
Go get your rhythm back and figure out, get your confidence back.
They like, want
to figure out how to get you healthier. Yes. As far as your mental, because that's what it feels like for me with Baisley. And so I think that obviously there's an injury or he'd be playing 40 minutes a game.
Yes. He needs a how Stella got her groove back.
Yeah.
Kinda
yeah.
They situation. Want him on the court. Yeah. And he will be on the court when he's healthy.
Next season.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll see about
sure.
That.
Wow.
All right. Our next Twitter question.
Stella!
Comes from at Puke wow. Kojam, so who wants to know, are defensive attributes underrated in the draft? Thunder is winning games with three undrafted players, Lou, Kenny H, and Moses, all important parts of our 12th ranked defense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Thunder have historically looked at that. Like, that's what been one of the ways they've drafted around mm-hmm. when they had KD, Russ, even Paul George, is they were looking at these guys that had defensive attributes. I think that bare minimum in a draft, they're probably looking at lateral quickness. Can these, because number one is it's so many college teams play a zone that you really don't get a good image or idea of how these guys can play defensively. You have the random ones like Matisse Thybulle. It's like, okay, well, that guy is elite defensively. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of, like, even looking at Evan Mobley, like, USC plays a lot of zone. Yeah. And for him, his whole game is, literally touch one block, move to the other block, touch one block. You know, that's all they do the entire time. And so you, it's hard to see really the fullness. And so you're going to go with some of the stuff that you look like. What's his reach? Like, is he, does he have some instincts as far as his ability to protect the rim? How does he move as far as when he's guarding somebody on the perimeter? Does he switch well? Like, there's stuff like that. And then you're really just looking at the physical attributes.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least what I would look like if you're talking about defensive ability. But so much of defense for this team is just effort.
Yeah. I'd say defense is just underrated, period, in the league, historically, today, forever. I mean, look at how much Tony Allen earned in his career versus what Lou Williams earned. You know, like, Lou Williams doesn't play any defense. He's only offense. He's made a ton more money than pretty much like any defensive stopper guy. Even look at Lou Dort's contract now. Like, he's one of the best defenders in the league, and they still can offer him not a whole lot because he can't shoot. So without a doubt, it's underrated, but also I do think the most important skill to have as a perimeter guy is three-point shooting. And that will continue to be more and more true as the years go on and the more threes are shot.
Well, and the league has actually worked to make defense harder.
Mm-hmm.
Hand-checking rules.
And,
you know, defensive 3 seconds calls. And, like, defense, because defense doesn't sell tickets.
No.
Defense also doesn't put points on the board in a positive way, right? You can help, like, take away points from the other team, but that's just not the way the rules of the game are set up and aesthetically what you want to see.
And also just the sport already just makes defense not as important in the sense that you can play great defense and a guy like Steph Curry still can.
And it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the Nets are still going to blow you out.
Yep.
But, doesn't matter.
But with that said, like, you do need good defenders on the perimeter. If you don't, like, you are going to get absolutely torched. Yes, sometimes it doesn't matter the kind of defense you play, but if you have a bad defender on the perimeter, you're toast.
Yeah. There seems to be a standard level of defense that there has to be.
Yeah.
Unless you're the Brooklyn Nets.
So I'd say yes, it's completely underrated. Lou Dort gets, if it were properly rated, Lou Dort gets drafted.
Right. Which, by the way, I saw TSN, maybe? Is it Toronto Sports Network? They had a little 10-minute video on Lou Dort.
Yeah.
His whole story. You talk about, like, even more in love with who that guy could be.
He's incredible.
It's really for his team. It's really, really. I mean, I can't believe he's on this roster for the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
So awesome. Shea's so lucky to have a hand to hold when he's getting his,
how about that?
Shot.
That was
they weren't holding.
I don't know why this is like
holding hands.
Okay, what's going on? Because I've had many people say like, "That's a forearm grab."
Yeah,
shut up. What is? Why are you ruining the moment?
Am I holding Jay's hand right now?
No, but
what's the purpose of the? What is the point of the?
This is holding hands.
Okay, so are you offended for hands?
I just need correct information. And it's saying, like, they're just trying to get numbies on Twitter by saying, oh, look how close they're holding hands. That's not what that is.
It was a nice, supportive, encouraging, loving thing to see two brothers supporting each other through a scary thing.
I think that's the same thing, but just say exactly what I'm looking at in the picture. It doesn't feel like I'm having a stroke.
No, it's but like they're holding the thing hands is,
and it, they're not.
No, the thing is, you have to zoom in on the picture to even see what's going on. No, so you have to really try. Yeah, no, you do.
You just
so
look, it's like, at the picture.
This is what's annoying to me. People are like, oh, that's not holding hands. That's a forearm grab. Gotcha.
It is. That is a forearm. He is holding on to his friend. It doesn't really matter, but it is
clearly mattered.
But it obviously
picture,
does.
The yeah, picture and what they said are not the same.
I think the thing that, let me just maybe a voice of reason, is maybe it wasn't a direct hand to hand grab.
Yeah.
Sure. But the point is the same.
It's a sentiment.
Like, it's clearly something where Lou is supporting Shea as he's getting a shot because Shea isn't comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. I don't care if they're holding hands or interlocking digits or holding forearms. It's the sentiment is the same thing.
I know, but it's just not correct. What it is. It is not correct. That is not what was happening in the picture. And I'm right.
Has not been this intense of an argument for no real reason since the last time we argued about Isaiah Roby and Moses Brown.
That's true.
Speaking of Moses Brown, at Dan Mayan says, Jay Smith, how are you doing watching Moses Brown?
Yikes.
Hey, listen, so I've said this on Twitter a few times, but nobody follows me there, which is fine. You don't really want to follow me. I'm pretty boring. And here's the deal is I will eat a little bit of crow on Moses Brown. I was wrong. I honestly didn't think he would even be able to stay on the floor, but he's proving me wrong on that. And I'll own that. I still have no idea what to think about Moses Brown long term. I think Andrew mentioned this before the pod as we were talking a little bit. Moses Brown feels a little bit like a specialist in a lot of ways. Like, I don't know if he's going to be your long term starting center. And if he is, I'm not sure that's great for your team, but it's clear to
me. Still lots of just seething hate.
No, I own it. Like, I was wrong about his ability to play in the NBA long term.
But so, you might be right.
I didn't say that. You said that.
Jay won't dare say that.
I need this out of my life.
Literally every time he has a good game, they're like,
Andrew gets tweets about 85 points. I get tweets about Moses Brown.
This is true.
So anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens long term for him. But obviously, he's more impressive than I thought he'd be. And I mean, he does the stuff you want. He's so gigantic.
Yeah.
But the thing that differentiates him from like a Boban is he moves better than I realized he would.
John Hollinger, huge Moses Brown guy.
Great.
Really?
Yeah.
What does John know about basketball?
Right. What does John know?
Like the whole statistic.
More like John Hollinger. The whole statistic evaluation that we have for players is actually John Hollinger's.
It's his, yeah. He's never worked for an NBA team. Yes, he has. He hasn't worked for multiple giant platforms before.
He doesn't
even know
what PER is.
Right.
He made that stat up, actually. No, Moses, it's hard. There was a moment the other day where I was watching him. And I was like, because you had mentioned in a podcast, and who knows? I've listened to so much basketball podcasts, so many basketball podcasts. But somebody mentioned, like, I don't think he's going to turn into Rudy Gobert. And I'm watching him. I'm like,
is he?
If he turns into Rudy Gobert, I have to, like, quit podcasting.
Okay, I'm pulling up Rudy's rookie year.
Like, honestly, because I'm like, I could never have been more wrong about a guy if he turns into that.
No, it's just a good moment to look back on. J.E. Skeets once said that Jason Maxiel would be a better player than Danny Granger. So,
oh, that's great.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right.
Well, I forgot Maxiel was a player.
Exactly.
Jay, you want to hear Rudy's rookie stats? 2.3 points on 48% shooting from the field. 3.4 rebounds. Clearly, Moses is
way better. No.
Would this technically be Moses' rookie year?
Yeah.
I don't know how
he was on the Trailblazers last year.
Played for the Blazers last year. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go sophomore year. 8.4 points.
So yeah, it's just like comparing apples to apples there. You're right.
He had per 36. You know what Moses' per 36 are? Can I tell you?
40 points and 70 rebounds.
It's like 17 and 16. 2 blocks, a steal on almost 60%. Field goal percentage. It's pretty good. The production is out of this world. He's 22 and 20 per 100 possessions.
Guys, I was wrong. Okay. He is the pillar. I don't think the Thunder should draft a center going forward.
I agree. Totally agree.
Hey, guys. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at StickyWizard00. Who says, Shea seems to be pretty afraid of needles. What's your greatest tangible fear?
Oh, heights. Is that a tangible fear?
Yeah,
heights.
Can you touch heights?
You can't touch heights.
No, but heights can touch me.
Exactly. Heights is mine too. It touches me.
In my heart.
Heights is scary.
It touches me.
You know what I'm low-key afraid of? The dark. The dark.
Really?
Nighttime is low-key kind of scary.
wait, how do you sleep? You sleep in with a light, like a little bit of light? Light?
No, I watch TV.
But you keep the TV on all night?
I fall asleep with the TV on a lot. Yeah.
Wow.
I had this moment the other day where I was walking through our church and I had to, the only way you can turn the lights on in the gym is you have to go across the gym and I was just trying to cut across.
You sprinted.
And I haven't done this in a long time. Like I've really gotten over it because growing up, man, it was the dark, like
dark is scary.
Terrified of the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, obviously I'm 38 now and I'm a father. And so I can't be the one that's scared of the dark when my son isn't. And so,
but
I'm walking through the gym and all of a sudden in my mind, I have this like 10-year-old Jay mind where I'm like, I can't see the other side of the gym. There could be somebody just running at me. And so I'm like, I didn't run, but I got little goosebumps as I was walking through there. I was like, what in the world? The likelihood of that is less than zero.
Did you have your phone on you?
Oh, yeah.
Did you pull the flashlight out?
No, because that just, then all I can think about is if I turn the flashlight on, and I was like, then I can only see them when they're 2 feet away from me.
You know, how big is this gym?
Yeah, what? It's a gym.
How big are the people coming at you?
Who knows?
Tiny.
You don't know.
Tiny and dressed in all black. Couldn't you hear them?
Maybe, or maybe not. It could be that little demon character from, what's the, tiptoe through the tulips. Oh, it's the, somebody's
going
to know.
Keep going, reference. Please.
Oh, the Sound of Music.
The Sound of Music. No, it's a,
Wizard of Oz. Help us in the stream. Oh. We don't, I have no idea.
Is it a movie?
Yes, it's a movie.
Is it a scary movie?
Yes, obviously.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
Somebody's going to know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what that is. I don't watch scary movies.
Oh, Cinderella Man.
I don't either. I stopped watching scary movies a long time ago. But
yeah, I like scary movies.
Somebody's like, you have to watch this part. And it's this little demon playing that song and like looking around. It's The Conjuring. It's The Conjuring.
Wow. I like scary movies, though.
You hate the dark, but you like scary movies. But
I didn't say I hate the dark. I said it's low key scary.
Okay.
It's kind of scary. Because if you're late at night.
He's not holding hands.
He's not. They are not holding hands. Are they? You think that's holding hands?
No, I just think this is the same kind of argument.
No, the night's scary. Nighttime is scary. I'm scared of the night.
Okay. I'm scared of the night.
High key.
High key. Wow.
It's scary.
High key. Scared. All right. I'm going to go. That's it. You guys have okay. You guys have a great Friday. Enjoy the weekend. We got Thunder tonight against the Suns. They're hardly playing anybody, and that probably means they're going to win. So hope you guys enjoy that. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys again on Monday. It was Insidious, not Conjuring. But Insidious. I'm just a prisoner
of your love. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.